Would you bow your heads with me today? We're going to pray. I'm excited about the word. Father God, today, your word is life as it always has been and always will be. Father, it doesn't matter what my opinion is. It matters what your word says. It's alive and active. And Father, it has the ability to transform hearts. God, today we give you permission to transform our heart because we know that you are our creator, that you love us, that you have a purpose and a plan for our lives, that you see us in the beginning, in the middle, and at the end. You're in all of our days. And Father, today, we don't care to be entertained. We care to be changed. And we just ask for you to do that. Make us who you've designed us to be so that we can do all you've called us to. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you for everybody that made a decision today to follow you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, time to level up. So today, the message is called Whatever Goes Down Must Come Back Up. That's a play on words because, as we know, Newton's third law of motion says for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So that implies whatever goes up must come down. In our faith, whatever goes down must come back up. I don't know if you know the story of Lazarus, but he was dead for 4 days. One of Jesus' friends, Jesus shows up and raises him from the grave. He went down but came back up. I don't know about you, but our faith, our religion is the only one that says our God is alive. He's not dead. He died for us. He rose again. Jesus went into the tomb, but he rose back up. He went down, but he came back up. Right? So we see that Peter, the apostle Peter, decided to take a journey out on the water with Jesus. He took his eyes off of Jesus, started sinking, but as soon as Jesus touched him, he walked on water. He came back up. So last week we had this illustration, and it's kind of addictive to do, I have to be honest with you. But I'm so glad those balls we got are like next gen, like Uber balls. They're like, you can bounce them to the ceiling and back just by dropping them. They're incredible. And they're all to remind you you're going through in life. And so last week we used this analogy of the bouncy ball, and what makes this ball bounce, there's a definition they're going to put up on the screen, is elastic. It's the elasticity of the ball. And if you look at this definition, this is really who we're called to be in life. It's who we're called to be in our culture, who we're called to be in our walk each and every day, and in our life. It's the ability of a body to resist a distorting influence and return to its original size and shape. That's so important because no matter what culture shift, no matter what situation, no matter what circumstance you go through in your life, no matter what unforeseen trial, what unforeseen difficulty, whether deserved or not, there is an ability of every Christian by faith through grace in Jesus Christ to resist distorting influences, things that would shape, things that would mar, things that would transform you, and to return to the shape that God intended you to be, the person he called you to be, what he's put in you, even when that force is applied to your life. Now, plasticity doesn't resist force. It succumbs to it. And it molds into whatever force is being applied to it. So the question last week is, are you plastic or elastic? Right? Do we have the ability to resist distorting influences? So I decided to go in this direction. There's a ladder up here. We're going to do some unique things today. Please don't judge me for it. It's just how God speaks to my weird brain. But I feel like I can get the word of God across better by using this analogy than I could if I just was left to my own devices. So I want to give you this premise right here. The greater the force, the greater the bounce. The greater the force that's applied, the greater bounce back you have. And so when you go up, and I don't know about you, but when I turned 40, I started to evaluate some things, and I realized that the older you get, the more you have to lose, and the less time you have to recover. Are you with me? The more you have to lose. And so for me, I thought it was awesome, wasn't it? When we're talking about young adults and they're like, anybody 18 to 30? And you're like, no. Like, yeah, that's not me. It's like a downhill slope right there, you know? It's like, yeah, it's getting embarrassing how long ago that was, right? And so some of you are like, yeah, that back end's hard. But the reality is there's God. I love the song we sang, "You're too good to leave me here. Your love's too good to leave me here." God loves you just the way you are, but he's not content to leave you there because he loves you. And so when you think about that, the Bible says that God takes you from glory to glory. He's always working on your behalf. He's always working on you. He's always working for you. Why? Because he loves you. He completes you. He loves you. And so he's always taking you from glory to glory. So there's always higher. There's always more. So, you know, pretty soon at like 18, you're like, man, I'm so blessed. Got so much going on. And then you meet this wonderful girl named Amy, and he blesses you with an amazing wife. And then you, a couple kids later, he blesses you with kids, and he blesses you with some things. And, you know, stuff really isn't important, but I like it. It's not bad, right? I mean, he bless you with that stuff, but you have more to lose. So it's like, gosh, God, yeah, you take us. Now, I want you to know, I hate heights. I hate them. Anybody that knows me knows I really am scared of them. And so this is really for your benefit and my pain. So I'm not going to go that high, but I want to get this image down in your brain. So God takes you up a little bit. You're like, hey, okay. And then you have a little force applied to your life. And though a righteous man falls seven times, he gets up. A righteous falls seven times, they get up. Makes them righteous is not the fall, it's their response to the fall. Are you with me? So it's my response to the things that happen in my life, the forces that happen in my life. You go up a little more, he takes you a little higher. All of a sudden, you got a little more going on. God's blessed you a little more. And now you're at a place where you're thinking, man, all right, it's happening. I'm doing some things. And there's this other verse that comes to my mind. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Get it, Stephen. Get it, Stephen. Get it, Stephen. There we go. God will catch you. I wouldn't rely on me too much. No weapon formed against you that will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you will be silenced. So you know, hey, listen, even though force is being applied to my life, even though, man, my marriage might be going through some things, even though, man, my finances might be going through some things, even though my health might be going through some things, have you noticed that even though the fall is greater, the bounce back is better? Are you hearing me on that? The fall is greater. I mean, I'm going higher. What about this one? Oh, Jesus, help us. It's so much higher than it looks, because it's like 4 feet, 8 feet, and then I'm 6 feet. We're like, it's really high up here. It's really high up here. So yeah, I got it. That's right. I got it. Do you not know? Remember the scripture, Jonathan. Have you not heard? Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But they that wait on the Lord renew their strength. They mount up with wings as eagles. Come on. They run and they don't get weary. They walk and they don't faint. It's remarkable that no matter how high I go, the more force it's applied to this ball in my life, the higher it bounces back. I'm not going all the way up. I don't love you that much. I don't love anybody in here. Well, maybe you, baby, but that's it. And you ain't asking me to do that. The reality is, here's the problem. Too many times, we trust in what we've put in us. Our capacity, our ability, our skills, our talent, maybe our wealth. And what you really need to trust is what God has put in you. Because faith is what enables you to bounce back. Your growth in God's word helps you bounce back. It is not cultural shifts, because they will always shift. It is not the thinking of man. And sometimes it's paradoxical. You're going, man, why does the Bible say if I give, I'll have more? Why does the Bible say that I should love those who persecute me, pray for my enemies, forgive those who don't deserve it? I want to stay mad at them longer. The reality is this, yeah, let's get down and I'll be able to talk about it better. The reality is, we're not done with that, unfortunately. The reality is that the bounce back happens in amazing ways. But it only happens as you trust God to take you from glory to glory. When you trust God and say, God, you know, you're big enough for my questions and you're big enough for my pain. You're big enough for my, you know what's interesting to me is that God is in your future. You don't have to be worried about it. There's a few ways that force is applied to you. And pastoring 20 years, I've seen force applied to people in different ways. External force, life force, pressure, difficulty, things that people happen that were unexpected. The first one is the Bible says the sun shines on the just and the unjust. Listen, we kick sin off in this world. Adam and Eve did a doozy on us. That all happened. So there's going to be some things that happen just by the sheer fact that we live in a fallen world. Bad things do happen to good people. And the reality is when life knocks you down is one of those forces. When life throws you to the ground, it's just regular life stuff. I think about Job at the loss of everything. Job lost his kids. He lost his house. He lost his wealth, and he was abundantly blessed. Obviously, in the end, if you read the end of the book, he gets double. He gets better, not bitter. But can my heart stay right when it seems like I've lost the blessing? When you go, God, you were blessing me. Now I don't know what happened. Like I'm following your word. This came out of nowhere. I don't know this job loss, this situation loss, this financial pressure. I don't know what happened. But can my heart stay right when life throws that to the ground? If you think about Abraham, Abraham was promised a son by the name of Isaac 25 years before he ever received him. That's a long time to wait. And Abraham was 75 at the time of the promise. God says, hey, I want you to give me that which is most precious to you, your son. Sacrifice him. Abraham looks up, he sees this mountain, and at the same time, because he was willing to give God everything, God provides a ram in a thicket and says, here's your substitute. Can I ask you this? Can my heart stay right when it seems like I've lost the promise? The promise of what God has given me, the promise of what he wants to give me. King David lost his newborn son. The Bible says as soon as he heard that his son had passed, he was on his knees. What goes down must come up. He got up. He went to the house of God. Can I just tell you, the house of God is the best place for heartache. It's the best place for pain. It's the best place for you to get real and deal with some things. It's just the best place for it. He gets up and he starts to worship God. I want you to connect these dots. In some of the most difficult places, it's okay to say, God, you're still good. God, I love you. God, you're still on the throne. God, I know that you have plans for me. God, and I know that this will not define me. Can my heart stay right when it seems like I've lost the future? Because his son was the future. His son was the heir. His son was the one to take the throne. And you know what's interesting to me? The present is all we can live in. But some of us are robbed of what God is doing in our present because we're so bound by our past or we're so scared of our future. So scared. What's going to happen? What's going to take place? Last year was a doozy. What? Hey, trust in my wealth. What's the stock market going to look like? What's our country going to look like? What's this going to look like? Why don't we determine that by allowing God to use and work through our lives so we get to see the future that he planned for us all along? You can worry about what you can't control, or you can put your trust in the one who holds it all. Can my heart stay right when it seems like I've lost the future? Can my heart stay right when it seems like I've lost my freedom? Paul and Silas were imprisoned wrongfully for doing nothing but spreading the gospel. They're in a prison cell, chains bound. Acts 16 is the reference if you want to read about it. And guess what they start doing? Again, praising and worshiping God while they're wrongfully convicted, while they're awaiting trial. And God sends an earthquake. The doors open up. The prison guard gets saved. Can my heart stay right when it seems like I've lost my freedom? Freedom in my career. Freedom because of the boss I have. Freedom in my health because I'm hemmed in. I got a diagnosis I wasn't expecting. Freedom in my finances because there was lack. Can I trust God when it seems like I've lost freedom? External forces. I don't know if you remember Joshua in the Battle of Jericho, but God told Joshua to conquer a city that had not been conquered with walls that had never been penetrated, and the Israelites didn't fight fortified cities. They fought in open plains. So you can imagine all of his battle strategies are related to things that he is now never faced before. God says, hey, Joshua, if you would just walk around this, just march around the city seven times, seventh day, blow trumpets, give a victory shout, worship me, I'll take the walls down. Can my heart stay right when it seems like I've lost the reason? I want you to know that God will ask you to do some things that just outside of the context of faith do not make sense. Given it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Can I trust God with my finances? Oh, what about, hey, it's better to lose your life. When you lose it, you'll find it in me. Hey, oh, wait a minute. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. What? In my world, the last is just last. Oh, wait, but God says it works differently. Hey, when everybody's tapping out on their marriage, I'm building mine up and sowing into it and praying for a heart change. Not reasonable, but biblical. Not popular, but powerful. Can my heart stay right? Can my heart stay right when God asked me to do some unreasonable things? Church, can my heart stay right when it seems like I've lost my faith? There was 120 disciples in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, and they had just watched their Lord and Savior ascend to heaven and leave them here on earth instead of taking them with him. Can my heart stay right when it seems like I've lost my faith? The best place to be if you're struggling with faith is here, because God is big enough for your questions, he's big enough for your pain, and he's big enough for your past. And this is the place where he loves to bring answers out of his house. Another way that things happen, other forces, when the enemy throws me down. There is an enemy, there is a hell, there is a Satan, and the best lie he ever told was that he wasn't real. The Bible says he roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. When the enemy throws you down, another external force, when you're attacked for no reason, when you're following God and something happens, when something is stolen from you. If you want to write this verse down, it's a really good one to read. It's Proverbs 6, 30 through 31. Proverbs 6, 30 through 31. It says, don't despise a thief who steals to satisfy his hunger when he's starving. But if he's caught, everybody say if he's caught. Oh, I caught you, sucker. If he's caught, he got to pay sevenfold, though it costs him all the wealth of his house. Guess what? The enemy, if he steals from you, there's a promise from God. If you lost something unjustly, undeservedly, when you were doing it right, when you were following it right, I'm not talking about when you're acting a fool and lost it. I'm talking about when you were doing it right. The Bible says that you can cash in, you can claim. He's got to pay back sevenfold what was taken. There's a promise there for you. What about when my decisions take me down? This is one where I've been before. Some dumb, stupid, but decisions. When my priorities get out of alignment, I seem to drift. Revelation says, remember the things you used to do. Go back and do those things. Repent, get those things off of you and do the things that you used to do. Go back to getting in church every week. Hello, somebody. Go back to getting to your Bible and hearing what God says. Going back and getting to prayer. Prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. Hello. Are you with me? Go back to sharing your faith. Go back to receiving. Hey, I'm shouting Jaquan down because Jaquan got baptized today. My brother over here, come on. Yeah, we met at a Starbucks, didn't we? We met at a Starbucks. Cali boy. He came from California via New York, you know, said, I just moved here. Man, I loved talking with him. He comes to church, meets, gets baptized. Come on. New life. I love celebrating what God's going to do in and through your life, Jaquan. And by the way, that God is no respecter of persons. He did it for him. He can do it for you. Come on. When decisions say, listen, you don't have to let priorities get out of alignment. What about when my lifestyle is inconsistent with the word of God, when sin gets into my life? I love David because David realizes that the best thing for sin is confession. Just getting it right, getting it straight, coming to God. I hate it when people get into sin and they avoid the house of God. If you're in sin, run to the house of God. We're not judging you because we've all been sinners here too. Some of us are just saved by grace. But David said, when I had unconfessed sin, my bones rotted out. You know, just ate me up. Got me all messed up. But I thought, I'll acknowledge my sin to God. I won't cover up my iniquity. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. I love the scripture that says, listen, if we confess our sins, God is faithful. He's just. He'll forgive us of all of our sins. Aren't you glad that we have a God that will forgive us of all of our sins and purify us from unrighteousness? That's what his word says. It's a promise and it's true. A lot of us rob ourselves of the grace of God because we don't confess and we hide it. The best place for God to show himself strong is when we just are real and authentic and transparent and say, this is my mess, God. You resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. So I'm just doing it. There's another force that gets thrown down, and that's wounds. All of us got them. Wounds. The Bible says that the tongue is untamed. It's full of deadly poison. Some of you have been wounded. You got thrown down because of people's words, things that were spoken over your life, things that maybe when you were young, when you're older, doesn't matter. They limited you. They hurt you. They marred you. I want to tell you that this ball doesn't bounce back right if there's a chunk taken out of it. And for some of us, chunks been your soul, your spirit, your heart. Wounds happen. But wounds have to be submitted to the healer. And we have to yield to forgiveness. We have to say, God, I've been forgiven, so I will forgive. And when you do that, something amazing happens. God begins to heal what you thought couldn't be. I'm going to do this next part of this analogy. And I want you to just go along with me. Because I think things are good. They're easier when they happen in the light. But for many people, we struggle in the dark and we feel alone when we're there. And so what I'm going to ask the team to do, Stephen, you with me, right? Because you might need to catch this or catch me. But God will take you from glory to glory. He'll take you higher. And for most of you, if I could just encourage you, God has bigger plans for your life than you do. And you should start to believe in them. But aside from that, a lot of times you go through a year like none other and the lights get turned out. And God is still faithful to take you higher. He doesn't stop. How many of you know God didn't stop because 2020 happened? Didn't take him by surprise. None of it. He didn't stop moving. He didn't stop working. He didn't stop any of it. So God still was moving. And what I'm going to ask them to do is just turn out all the lights. That's a different kind of feel. even the hallway ones. I want you to get this image of darkness. And I'm going to climb this because God is still faithful to carry you even in the dark. He's still faithful to continue to move your life forward even in the dark. No matter what's going on, see, other people might be in the dark, but the Word of God says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet. Your Word, God, is a light unto my path. And even though I'm getting thrown down in the dark, I can't even see the bottom. I don't know how far I'm falling. I don't know what's going to happen, but I trust what you've put in me. I trust the truth of your Word. I trust it's immutable. It does not change based on circumstance. I trust that you're loving. I trust that you're gracious. And I trust that you will catch me when I fall. And the bounce back is still the same, even though the lights are out. The bounce back doesn't change, even though I can't see how far I fall. But God is faithful to catch me in every single circumstance. So now guess what happens when you apply the Word to a dark situation? Stephen, you can help me with this. You get a little light that other people have a hard time seeing, but you know all too well. And here's what I want to show you. You glow in the dark when the Word of God is applied to your life. And so you're going through some things last year. Maybe you went through some health things. Maybe you went through some financial things. Maybe you went through some difficulty things. Maybe you went through some things in your marriage. And man, enemy tried to take you out. Life tried to take you out. But you still shining really bright in the dark. Come on. The bounce back, look, it didn't change because it got dark up in here. It's just as bright as it ever was. And in fact, the ball is better in the dark. I see it better. I perceive it better. Because even though others might not be able to see it, there's a light shining on it. Because his Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I can get there all day long. The light doesn't change, or the absence of light doesn't change the resilience of the faith of inside this ball, the faith inside of you. There's something else that's interesting about all of this, and that is the Bible has this verse, because some of you went through some things that you didn't understand, you didn't realize, you didn't, man, some of you might have gone through, man, I went through a bankruptcy situation, I went through a situation where I felt betrayed, I felt I lost friends, I lost this, I went through a situation, that there's a health thing that I just didn't, I didn't see coming, And here's what the Word of God says. In your light, O God, we see light. See, you went through some things that you might not have understood, but when you come into the context of faith, when you come into the context of trusting Jesus, when you come into the context of knowing Him, then all of a sudden God adds His perspective and He sheds light on what you used to not understand. He begins to show you the eternal value, the eternal perspective. He begins to show you what He was doing. You begin to see, hey, you were there and you do care. You were in it all and you'll be in it all. And you will eventually work all things together for the good of those who love you, those who are called according to your purpose. Because as I get in the light, I begin to see light. I begin to see from God's perspective. I begin to see those who hurt me is making me stronger. Stronger in Him. I begin to see those who wounded me is giving me an opportunity to forgive and be more Christ-like. I see those when I had lack, man, I started to know that God was my provider. Church, sometimes the lights need to go out so people can see how bright you shine in His light. And culture, no matter what happens, can't stop the bounce. You can turn the lights back on. People are uncomfortable enough. Still got my wallet. All the security people in here are like, you never do that. What are you doing? I just want to encourage you today. Get your bounce back. Get your bounce back. Get your bounce back in your faith. Get your bounce back. Spend more time reading God's word than listening to everything else going on. Get your bounce back. Say, God, what can you do through this situation? God, help me to exercise faith because you're a healer. You know, we've had amazing, God has healed people in amazing ways this month. I mean, amazing ways, like instantaneously. You know why? Because he's still a healer. He's still a healer. And in fact, he paid for our healing. By his stripes, the stripes that they put on his back before they took him to the cross, the blood that he shed, we are healed. Now, the Bible says to lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. I don't know why the Bible says lay hands. I don't get it, but it does. I also find it ironic that the Bible didn't say, unless there's COVID, lay hands on the sick. So you know what I did all through COVID? I laid hands on the sick. See, things, you'll always have an excuse to stay out of God's house. But every week, bounce back into generosity. Trust God in tithing. I know it sounds weird, but trust him in it. It works. I've been doing it for 35 years. The other five were when I didn't have any money. Trust God in your marriage. Come on, you can speak life into that. Trust God in your health. Bounce back, church. This is your pastor telling you that there's faith in you, and that's all that's necessary to please God. And if God is pleased, it doesn't matter how hard the life throws you to the ground. Out of your own decisions, out of life decisions, out of the enemy, out of some wounds from other people, you'll always come back. It's a rigged game. We are more than conquerors through him who called us. Nothing can separate us from his love, neither height nor depth, angels nor demons, principalities or powers, famine, hunger, darkness, sword. No, I am convinced in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who called us. Bounce back. Say it with me. Say, bounce back. Time to get your bounce back and allow God to move in remarkable ways in your life. Brad, will you just, what can wash away my sin? Just sing that with me today. And I just want you for just a minute, let's just take a minute. We serve a God that loves us and he's called us. Everybody that made a decision to get baptized today, this is your anthem. Can make me whole. Not good works, it's not penance, it's the blood of Jesus. He shed it for you because he loves you. And all precious is that white as snow, no fountain, no, nothing but the blood of. Can you sing it with him one time? Come on, let's hear the church sing. Say, what can wash? All of our sin, every single thing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come on, what can make me whole? As he intended me to be. Make me whole again. What can give back everything? everything I lost.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing more valuable, nothing more precious than that flow.
And no precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
This morning, bow your heads, close your eyes, and don't cheat. Just keep them closed. It's between you and the Lord anyway. You don't need to know what anybody else is doing. Between you and the Lord. I'd like our prayer team to come. If you need healing in your body right now, raise your hand. You know it. You're dealing with something. So many people. Just keep them up. Nice and high. Keep them up. God's here today to heal. I don't care what anybody else says. Satan's a liar. God's here to heal. And if you need healing in your body, we've seen countless miracle after countless miracle after countless miracle. I don't care if it's cancer. I don't care if it's paralysis. I don't care what it is. God is a healer. And when I say amen today, you have to have hands laid on you. It's just what the Word of God says. These people up here are ready to pray for you. Trust me to tell you, they'll pray for you. When I say amen, don't walk out the back. Run up here. Say, I need healing. I need prayer. Pray for me. I'm obeying the Word of God. I expect to see a result. I'm coming up here, and I'm having hands laid on me. I'm having people pray for me. If you need healing, there's a lot of hands. There's more hands than we have people to pray, so you might have to wait, or we might have to get some more prayer people, but we will do it. We will stay here until we pray for you. Trust me. If you lost your balance, life, decisions, enemy, wounds, whatever, God wants you to get your balance back. Some of you have been wrestling in the dark. It's time to bring that thing to the light, no matter what it is. You need to come up. You need to receive prayer. The best thing that I can tell you, the only way to get a balance back is the faith in Jesus Christ and someone bigger than yourself. There's a God in heaven that loves you, gave his one and only son to die on a cross. Why would he need to do that? Because we're all sinners and dirt can't clean dirt. The wages of sin is death. The payment for sin is death. It's hell, eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. That is abundant life. That is eternal life. There is a life after death in heaven. There's also an abundant life here. There's a plan and purpose. You are not an accident. I don't care what anybody told you. God wrote out every one of your days. He has a plan and purpose for your life. If you would like to start a relationship with your Creator through Jesus Christ, if you'd like to surrender your life to Him, I'm not talking about, oh, I believe in God, Pastor, oh, I come to church occasionally. I'm talking about, I've repented of my sin and I have made Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. I've given Him control of my life. If you'd like to do that today, I want you to say this prayer with me. I want you to talk to God with me today. Say, dear God, forgive me of my sin. I turn to you and I give my life to you, Jesus. I make you my Lord and Savior. I thank you for paying a price that I couldn't when you died on the cross. I thank you that you rose again, conquering death and hell. I receive your grace. I commit to serve you always. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You said that prayer. You meant it in your heart. Raise your hand right now, loud and proud, so I can see it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. 6, 7, 8. Come on. Keep your eye up. Thank you. See you in the back there. Any more? Come on. Don't leave this. You said the prayer. Man up. Come on. Let me see you. It's important. God loves you. I love you. And you need to let the world know that you said it. Come on. Yeah, 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 yeah. Any more, any more, any more, any more. Come on. Anybody else? See that one too? Yeah, I see that. Yeah, I got you. Awesome.